All right, here we go on a Monday, Maize and Blue Review. Everybody eagerly awaiting the eclipse, and, you know, it didn't happen all that often. So why not get excited about something like that? And I was going to sit here and say that, you know, maybe an eclipse is a little overrated. Overrated in that you can't look at it. You know, it's going on, but no, you can't look. It kind of sucks. I do remember, I guess the eclipse that is happening here shortly is one that hasn't happened since 1969-70, so we're talking over 50 years. But there was one in the 70s that was also talked about, like, it was only going to happen, like, once in your lifetime. And I gotta say, I remember kind of shooting a look, you know, instead of looking through the little, you know, glasses, or, I don't know, there were cereal boxes back then, maybe, that we made up instead. You know, young Dennis took a look and looked at the sun. And I'm still here. But, you know, maybe that's why, you know, my eyesight now is not, it was great right up until I turned 50. And it's kind of actually 40, and you need reading glasses, and it's been slowly going downhill, but I don't know. I'm not telling anybody to look at the sun directly. Don't do that, but enjoy it. We're ready to enjoy some Michigan talk. And guess what? We've got basketball to talk about. Dusty May is out there. We got some news on a player or two, giving my overall thoughts on what Dusty May is doing with the basketball program. And, you know, football. We're always thinking about football, and now we are less than 2 weeks away from the spring game. And you think about the weather outside right now, and it's not going to be 70 degrees, but it's a long range forecast, so you take that for what it's worth. But, you know, close to 60 degrees for the spring game. And considering that it is going to be a spring game for the defending national champs, it's going to be well attended. It's going to be a great day in Ann Arbor. And we've got some news regarding the football team. So I'll talk some football, talk some basketball, and then we'll see where the people are at, what you're thinking about. And, you know, you got a question that is about Michigan. Certainly, you know, that's going to be top of mind. But if there's anything else going on, I mean, there was so much. You get the women, you got the NCAA tournament, you know, the final game tonight. You got, you know, Cal going to Arkansas, and then the dominoes, you know, dropping around, what effect that will have. You had the women's championship game yesterday. So there are a lot of different things that you might be interested in, and you want to make a point, and I'm here for it. I'm here for points, sports or otherwise. So you know what? Go ahead and fire away if you've got something. You know, Antoine was saying I was going to turn into a werewolf. Maybe, you know, Corey looked also when he was a youngster, looked at the sun. Yeah, don't do it, you know, and that's the way it goes. Now, football practice continues. We know much of who Michigan is going to field on the last day of August against Fresno State. We could come up with a depth chart. It would be close. Be close to what would it, over 90%. Maybe, I don't know about 100%, but it'd be over 90%. But there's always, you know, guys that rise up the depth chart and guys that, you know, get the early playing time. And, you know, there was a time that, not that I wasn't looking for news, but I wasn't looking every single day under every rock for every little who's, you know, making a move. And then the season would happen and I would, you know, say, oh, wow, who's that or whatever. And, you know, that was as exciting as anything else. But, you know, we want to know now, you know, who's going to be out there. And we've got a pretty good guess. But there's also a reality check. I've been talking with some folks that have gone to practice, and the reality check is, I was like, well, how's the defense look? And they're like, they look pretty good. And anyway, like, anybody that would go to practice and stand on the sideline and watch Michigan play would know that Jayshon Barham, the transfer from Maryland, it looks like an outstanding player. He's got great speed. He's big. And he's going to be playing in front of a defensive line that could be, certainly you would say right now, is one of the very best, maybe the best in the country. And if you're an inside linebacker, middle linebacker flowing around, that's exactly what you want. So it's a perfect fit. And you expect a good season from Jayshon Barham. Derek Moore, who was outstanding last year in rotation and then had a big game in the Rose Bowl, was in there on the final play when they stopped Jalen Milroe. You know, and I was talking with somebody that was watching the defensive line. He said Derek Moore, when he was a true freshman and was in for spring, I remember watching him at the spring game, and Derek Moore looked like a professional defensive end at that time. Well, it's just, it's another one of those things when you're watching practice that stands out. Derek Moore looks like an NFL edge rusher. He has looked like that. He continues to look like that. And if you're looking for somebody, say, you know what, give me somebody you think is going to have a great year. Derek Moore, I think, is going to have a great year. I do think that. I believe that. And go ahead and put me down for number 8 in the maize and blue to have a big year. But the thing about defense that was emphasized to me more than once is that this is not back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s where, you know, coaches would line these guys up and there would be a lot of hitting going on. And now they streamline this process and there's thud tackling, but they're not taking guys to the ground. So that is something to keep in mind. People know, I was the offense in front of the defense, vice versa, who had the better days, all of this kind of stuff. Oh, it's even. Oh, they're just saying that. When it comes to the defense and, you know, trying to get a gauge on things, it is something to remember. You know, you're not taking ball carriers to the ground. So, you know, that if you're a running back, you know, how you're breaking tackles, do you really know? You know, you get you can get a lot out of it, but, you know, it's not quite the same. But so something to keep in mind. I don't know. It was the same thing talking about the offensive line. I was like, well, how are they gelling? I was putting that question out there. And somebody that played offensive line said, anybody that knows about offensive line play knows that you need time together to gel. And talking about a week or two in the practice saying, oh, they've, you know, they gel. They look like they're, you know, they're going to be great. They got the pieces there, but we're not going to know about that offensive line until Texas. You know, maybe if they're giving up some, you know, giving up some free rushers or something, or struggle against Fresno State. I'm not expecting that, but we're going to know against Texas. And that's why this year having Texas right off the bat, we're going to know. Yeah. We're going to know about the offensive line. We're going to know about the quarterback. We're going to know about everything. Texas, you know, the second game, we're not going to have to wait until game 6 or 7. It's going to be on, and we're going to know what's happened there. So the O-line needs time to gel. So I don't know if there's nothing against anybody that is throwing out practice tidbits and things like that. But anybody that's talking about, well, you know, the defense looks great and the offensive line's mauling guys, you know, you just keep that in back of your mind that they're not bringing guys to the ground. And an offensive line, certainly one with 5 new components, they have to work in tandem. It's like the, I don't know, who is it? Like the Rockettes. You don't just go out on stage and start, you know, kicking your legs out with everyone. You might be good and everything else, but you got to work in unison with your partner. And you know, the weak link is, you know, it's got to be at the, that's going to be your strongest point in there, whatever that phrase is. Your weakest link is, you know, can take the whole offensive line down, that kind of thing. But, you know, encouraged about what is going on with those players. And one person told me that watched Michigan's offensive line that I said, well, give me something. He said he thinks that Josh Preep, the transfer from Northwestern, right now would be considered Michigan's best offensive lineman from what he's seen. Now, that's somebody that's played football and played at Michigan, knows a little bit about offensive line, and told me that. So, Josh Preet. Now, you could say, is that good news or bad news that a transfer at guard is your best player? And that's going to be whatever you want to make that. You look at the rest of the guys. If somebody said Crippen, you'd say, wow, what about the tackles? You know, anybody that you put there, great for him. But what about the other guys? So, but Preeb is good. And anybody that I have spoken with so far, anything that I've seen from Trevor McHugh or Josh Henschke in the Amazing Blue Review, Josh is putting out practice reports like almost every other day. And anytime you see it seems like a consensus. Nobody said, you know, Preeb is going to take a little while, or, you know, Preeb doesn't look that. Everybody says he looks impressive too. So, as much as the transfer portal, you know, Michigan had what, 10 players in the transfer portal. And at one point, you know, I was calling them the Magnificent Seven, and they just kept going. And, you know, they ended up, I think 9 of them, the only guy that didn't really get any time was the, you know, place kicker that transferred from Mississippi State. The rest all contributed. The two that they have right now, Barham and Preeb, are everything that you would want in football players that are coming in. And I would say that both of those guys are total impact players for Michigan. So that's what I've seen on the offensive, from people that I've spoken with about practice. We'll get to some of your points and questions about things going on with Michigan football. I know people are worried about recruiting, and I can't do anything to tell you not to worry. And I'm not sure you shouldn't worry when you've got the 3 commits and you're defending champs. And I think the reason is you had, and I think this is the same reason why you may not have as many transfer portal players in right now for spring practice, is that it took a while with Harbaugh not leaving until almost the end of January. You remember that is January the 24th was that announcement on that Wednesday that he was bolting to go pro. You know, there was a holding pattern if you're a high school player. So that affected recruiting. There's no doubt about that. It also affected the transfer portal. And then Sherrone Moore having to put together a staff. And then now that Michigan, one thing that we know that they did, whether it was differently or more, had a more intense background check, whatever the company that they hired to do background checks, because they've had some issues obviously over the years with some of the staff members or otherwise. And some of the stuff you could say, yeah, how about a simple background check, and other things you can't tell, but that sound, if somebody asked me, hey, was it a good idea that Michigan did a real thorough head-to-toe background check on coaches that they're going to hire? I'd say, yeah. Now, you might have said, no, just let's rubber stamp them, bring them in, like, whatever. So that took a while. And then they had, you know, the issue with the one defensive lineman. Then they finally, I mean, they've only had the staff together for just over a week or so. Or maybe it's been a little bit longer than that, but not long, with Espo. Esposito as the defensive line coach. And not that you have to have everybody together, but now that it's in place, and, you know, so I'm not making any excuses. I'm basically just, I think I'm just telling you what you know. But sometimes when you just hear people screaming online about, oh, Michigan's falling off, they can't recruit, they can't, you know, what's Ward doing with the NIL? I mean, these are things that you see constantly on Twitter. Well, it was whoever was in there was going to, you got to ramp up, you know, just even though the continuity, not just boom, you know, snap it in. And I would think that if we are sitting here, and, you know, I know there's commitment watch, and, you know, there's guys that are coming in, this is the big weekend, and there are a lot of players in. I'm not forecasting any commitment in the next day or two. Just as I've watched it over the last couple of years, like June, and certainly the beginning of July, that's when a lot of the players make their decisions. So we're a long ways away from that. If I'm sitting here on the 1st of July and I'm looking over at Michigan's recruiting class and there's not any players there besides the ones that they have now and maybe just a couple more, I think I'll go ahead and push the panic button at that point. But you might want to, you know, I wouldn't say you might want to push it sooner than that. Let's not push the panic button on recruiting until July 1st. You want to graze it right now? You do whatever you want. I'm telling you where I am at. I also think with the transfer portal, we're going to wait till after spring. Michigan's going to be, there's going to be some outgoing. And then, yeah, Michigan, I would think there's going to be some ingoing there. So we're going to have to wait on the portal when it comes to that. The thing that it gets asked a lot, and maybe somebody has already asked it. I haven't read any of the feedback yet. But the question about, will Michigan go in the portal for a quarterback? And that is maybe. Maybe they will. That's yet to be determined. I think that if Michigan is going into the transfer portal after spring football, that is cause for alarm. Now, not, you know, hey, oh, my God, but it is. I don't know. I didn't want to oversell it or undersell it, but you've got a team that we can all look at that they could put a starting lineup out there of, you know, they're all 22 and it looks like it could compete in the Big Ten. I know Ohio State probably looks better on paper, but Michigan's right there. And considering what they've done the last 3 years, I wouldn't count them out, with the exception of the uncertainty with the quarterback position. And if Michigan goes through an entire spring ball, and after spring ball, they are going out into the portal, then I would think that that would be cause for alarm. You may not. And depending on who they get, there's, you know, can be a lot of different situations where somebody's pretty good, but a young player that just gets beat out and, you know, he thinks, you know, I want to take a shot and I could play. Michigan would be a great landing spot. So, you know, you could talk yourself into that it wouldn't be cause for alarm, but I'm just telling you that I think it would be. That the question mark that is the quarterback position at Michigan, wherever you think that question mark is, if they're out in the portal afterwards, that question mark gets a lot bigger. I don't think, is there any argument about that? And again, it depends who they get. But so we'll have to see on that. I'm just telling you how I see it. It's not all, you know, bouquets and flowers about everything that's going on with Michigan. And I think a lot of people serve that up. And there's lots of things to be happy about. And I'm just positive. I believe I'm a glass half full person. But I also want to tell you that, you know, that's how I sit and how I see things. There are some people that are so close to the football program and, you know, they don't want to say anything like that would be considered like, oh, that's a negative. Well, okay, that's fine. I mean, I don't play on the team. I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you the information so, you know, you can make your own determination. I think there's a lot of people that are feeding you, you know, a lot of maize and blue, you know, that you just want all the maize and blue sunshine and everybody's like, this is great. Or they serve you up the maize and blue excuses so you can use it when anybody's coming at you and say, hey, well, what about recruiting? What about the quarterback? And you're like, eh, everything's great. I don't know. I'm not there with that. So that's what I'm thinking. I think the other thing is that the coaches, and you hear this all the time with any team, but specifically at Michigan. Michigan's a big leadership team. Who's going to be your leaders and, you know, your senior leaders? Who's going to be the captains kind of thing? Who's going to lead this team? That's always important. But when you think about the talent, there's no question that Michigan, they won the national championship last year. They had a boatload of talent and they really had great leaders. And you'd start with JJ, but you'd go to Blake Corum. We've heard all these guys, both of the guards. And Zinner and Keegan, who were captains. That doesn't happen all the time on football teams. Those guys were great leaders on the offensive line. You go over on the defensive side, and Jenkins and Sainristil, across the board, great players, but great leaders. And so there is that void of talent. They've got the talent there, but some of the guys, and sometimes it is just a natural progression where you think, hey, great player, this guy will be a leader. And you say, oh, Will Johnson's probably going to be a leader. And Mason Graham, even though he's a quiet, you know, you'd rather have him just, you know, show the way. And I heard Mason Graham already this spring said, yeah, you know, he's making an effort to be more of a vocal leader. And, you know, because he is somebody that, you know, is, if not their best player, you know, certainly one of their best players. So it's just something. And that's another thing that is developing through spring and something that the Michigan coaches really want. It's having that offensive line hanging out all the time, every day, and having that camaraderie and knowing that what these guys, what makes your guy next to you tick and everything else, it's important. You know, how important? I don't know. And I know it's not something that you can look at as a recruiting angle or somebody that, you know, these are general coaching points that I'm not sure that, you know, your fan base is thinking, no, those things are fine. There's, you know, that all just happens. They just go out there and Moore will just wave a magic wand and they'll get leadership and these guys will be hanging out together. They will all like one another and they will be ready to go next year when the curtain goes up on the 2024 season. Those are the things that I'm thinking about as it comes down to Michigan and the spring game, as we are now less than 2 weeks away. Oh, here we go. I'll get some of the feedback in here. Here's somebody talking about a Ohio State running back going into the portal. I did see that. That's right. Guys go into the portal. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I need to get more into like, ooh, as soon as somebody leaves a program or somebody hits the portal, it's like, would this guy be somebody that Michigan wants? I don't think I'm running back right now. Out of all of the things that Michigan's looking for, I don't think they're interested at all in a running back. I think they could be interested in a quarterback. I think that they could be interested in a bigger wide receiver. I think they could be interested in a defensive back of safety or corner, but I don't think they're interested in a running back. And I know you're just putting it out there. You weren't even saying it. It's Ohio State, and maybe they're getting weakened by somebody going into the portal, or it's just news, but there you go. Any of the other young studs other than Etta turning heads? I hear Roderick Pierce's name, Roderick Pierce III. I hear his name coming up a lot. I don't know if you consider Zeke Berry as a young stud or not, but when the starting defense is out there, it is obviously number two at one of the corners and number seven, Makari Page at safety. Jaden McBurrows and Zeke Berry have been with the ones a lot. So again, I don't know if that makes you think if he's young or not. Corey's just going to make a point about the offense. If they can move the ball, we will win it again with how good this defense is. Well, yeah, move the I would think you'd need a little bit more than that. You don't really have time for a sentence or two. I like that, you know. Yes, if Michigan can find I would put in there, if Michigan can find a quarterback that can deliver the ball without turning it over, because I believe in the run game, then I believe that they're going to be in the mix for a Big Ten championship and a playoff. So is this, are we so far off? Move the ball without turning it over? I'm sort of there with you, Corey, on that. All right. I'll get to some more of the feedback coming up. I'll do it at the end. I wanted to give you some thoughts on basketball. And, you know, Dusty May is open for business. He's got a lot of scholarships, and there are tons of players in the transfer portal. I see, you know, every 10 minutes people putting up like, hey, this kid is – he's got a list of 20 players and Michigan's on the list. And like, oh, you know, Michigan's interested in this guy. Like, okay, you know, like Michigan needs 8 or 9 players. Maybe they'll have 5 or 6 players in the transfer portal. So, yeah, they're going to be interested in a lot of guys. I would imagine that May and company, he's almost maybe has got his entire coaching staff. But, you know, you say, okay, here's the point. They want John L. Davis. We all know that, the guard from FAU. He would be the number one target. If I was running things, I would, you know, Dusty May was his coach. Dusty May, that's the number one target for Michigan, is John L. Davis. How much NIL money can they give him? And then, okay, you start at each position. You got your guards, you got your forwards, you got your centers. We know that they like this this Wolf kid, Danny Wolf from Yale, the big redhead from the Bulldogs, who, you know, led Yale to a victory in the NCAA tournament, played well, and he's coming in this week. So, yeah, Michigan wants him. Michigan's targeting him. He's coming in for a visit. I would say, yeah, keeping an eye on him. The other FAU players are the other ones. But, you know, listing the other, like, 20 guys that have Michigan in Michigan, there might be some mutual interest there. I'm going to let others, if you're interested in any single name that is at all attached to Michigan, I get that, but that's not me. I want to see him, you know, get players, obviously. I want to see, you know, who it is and when they commit and how much NIL money. I look at it like this. There's all of these players that are out there, and what do they want? They want money. They want playing time. They want a chance to win. What else is there? A school, I guess. Sorry, they want an education. So how big are those things to all of these different players that are out there? Michigan's got you covered when it comes to education. Is Michigan going to win? That could be a hard part if you're sitting out there. If that's the big part, if you're somebody that, let's say you were Danny Wolf, you went to the NCAA tournament, but you want to go back. That's a pretty big leap of faith since Michigan's got like a player or two on their roster to say, okay, I'm committing. And, you know, a leap of faith. But, you know, you're thinking, I got a chance of at playing time. And then the money could be factored in. But however those four things, people don't know. And that's the what is it when it comes to NIL? It's a little perplexing because we don't actually know how much money Michigan has in her war chest, and you know how they're looking to distribute it. And you'll hear people say, "Well, this is his valuation." I don't know. You know, there's nothing against people that are trying to do that, but I don't know. I don't know how much it's going to. I think it's going to cost, you know, $650,000 to get somebody like John L. Davis. Is Michigan in the running? Is that too much? You think that's crazy? That's what I think. That's my valuation. So after that, how much money are they going to be able to really to cough up when you're talking about players? They did, talking about Michigan and Dusty May, he did have a Zoom with former Michigan players and coaches. And what did he say? Josh Henschke did a story on the Maize & Blue Review. What is 60, 70 former coaches and players were on this Zoom, and you know, kind of a think tank. Anybody could jump in there. I'd love to see a copy of that to see what they were talking about. But in that Zoom, a former Michigan great, whose number is retired, and a guy who won 2 championships in the NBA, Rudy Tomjanovich, Hamtramck's own, spoke on that Zoom, and so did a recent head coach at Michigan, John Beilein. Like to have heard what each of those guys had to say, but how they're going about it, and that's the challenge. The players want the education, they want the money, and they want to play, and they want a chance to win. That's what Michigan's selling right now. I don't know how they're selling a chance to win. Hey, you can be the first in, and you can be a real leader of something that's going on here. So that's where it's at. Now I open things to questions for anybody to see what you have to say and what you like and your points. It's the people. Scott is saying, look out for a mere herring. Well, you know, I like a mere herring. I liked a mere herring when he committed. And it's nothing against someone. Like, I'm not the, this just in, the most perfect orator, perfect speaker. I don't hold it against a high school kid if, you know, he's not a big talker. Some people are talkers, they're not. Herring, I listened to for a minute, and this guy's going to be a star. Just listening to him. Now, you know, it's, you got to do more than just talk a good game. But he did talk a good game, and I like a mere herring. Scott is talking about Preeb and Barham, and I'm right with you on that. Corey says it's sounding really good about the future with Michigan's offensive line. Yeah, well, you know, they brought the five guys in as freshmen, and considering that Michigan, the style of play, if there was going to be one position, you'd say, what's Michigan going to knock that? It's going to be offensive line. I would think running backs as well, but offensive linemen, when you're a physical, run the ball. Two out of the last 3 years, Joe Moore, a national champion, I like all of that. So, yeah. Antoine is giving me the general. The defense is usually ahead of the offense anyway. If we can get Orgy around 65%, we make another run. As far as recruiting, Michigan just got a late start. I'm with you on the recruiting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know. Right. We'll see. You know, if they go through spring ball and they don't go into the transfer portal at all, then are they completely happy? You have to say you don't have anybody else out there, but they're going with who they got. You know, they're dancing with who they brought. Or any other line that you want to use there if they don't go into the transfer portal. I'm going to take it as a positive. Again, a negative, if they have to go into the transfer portal, doesn't mean that all is lost and this team is going to be horse blank and everything else. But if they come out of spring and then they are not hunting a quarterback in the transfer portal, I am going to say that that is positive news for Michigan. But on the other side, if they are going, I am going to say that it is negative. Corey's not tripping on recruiting because there's a lot of flip-flopping going on. I hear you on that. D Original says we need to get some wide receivers. I'm more concerned about the wide receiver room. Well, I like the receivers that they have, but they're looking for a big target. And I'll say it like this, D Original, like I said last year, if you took Colston Loveland out of the tight end room and you put him in as a wide receiver, you'd say, well, there's your big target. There's your great route runner. Now, Colston Loveland, almost by everyone's estimation now, all of our estimation last year, he was just like Brock Bowers. He was a weapon. He's one of those pass-catching tight ends in the country, and now he is the best. So now he's not technically a wide receiver. But it's not a big stretch to put him in that wide receiver room either. So that's why I'm not to use Corey's line of thinking. I'm not tripping about the wide receivers either. They got a lot of good ones. And would I like a 6'5 wideout that is good with 50-50 balls? Yes, that's the kind of wide receiver that I'm going to be looking for. Because when you're talking about pass catchers and dynamos, Michigan's got a few of those. Samaj Morgan being one. And I'm going to put Tyler Morris. Yeah, we saw him. It's not a complete conjecture about what kind of player he's going to be. He looked pretty good on that touchdown against Alabama, the Rose Bowl. That was one play. You need a lot more, and now there's lots being asked from him, but that's a pretty good starting point. Morris, and Morgan, the M&M boys. They got a couple freshmen, but when you're, again, I'll put Loveland in the mix with those guys when it comes down, if we're just talking about pass catchers. Scott thinking about the portal as a wide receiver. Antoine is talking about a late start. People shouldn't expect newly hired coaches to get recruits in as usual. It's just a lot of people with ridiculous standards. Well, I'll say amen to that. The ridiculous standards was there were, and you know, I enjoy most everyone's opinion, but Sherrone Moore was always going to be Michigan's head coach. He was going to be the coach 2 years ago if Harbaugh left to the Vikings, and he was the presumptive head coach that everybody would have hired this time around. But you know, a week or two, or I don't know, maybe a month or two after, you got people that are, you know, calling themselves Michigan fans. They should have got Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer, Jim Harbaugh, the day Kalen DeBoer was hired, Jim Harbaugh was in a parade in the streets of Ann Arbor. Well, Harbaugh didn't say he was leaving until January 24. Do you think Ward Manuel should have been behind the scenes pushing Jim Harbaugh out like everybody thought he was doing anyways, and then grabbing Kalen DeBoer over here and dealing with Alabama? It's just unrealistic. DeBoer's name is. And any of those other coaches, people that, you know, were complaining about continuity, I'll tell you that there would be whoever the top 10 players are on this team, more than half would be in the transfer portal right now if Michigan would have gone outside. Now, sure enough, that coach would have brought some of his players in, but Will Johnson, Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham, there's three of your guys on the defense. I put Donovan Edwards' name in there. There's four for you. I'll put Rod Moore, you know, he before he got hurt, there's your five. There's five of those guys. You know, three of those guys would have been gone. So, I don't, you know, people could say whatever they want. But Moore was always the coach and should be embraced universally by every Michigan fan, but he's not. But this is just what Antoine is saying. People have with ridiculous standards. Standards are fine, but, you know, a bit of being realistic. Porter from New Jersey. I really love his game. A must get. Plus, he's a big wide receiver. You're talking about him as a prep for 2 years. I'm not familiar with him. So that's it. Scott says Ohio State has one of the most talented teams in the past 10 years. Every starter is an NFL draft pick. Yeah, I'm not sure about every starter being an NFL draft pick, but, you know, they've had a great offseason. The thing about Ohio State is that they almost always have great teams. They almost always have a top five recruiting class. And then this year, they went over the top in the transfer portal and had the best transfer portal class. So, yeah, it's Ohio State doing what Ohio State usually does, but now, you know, their fans with Michigan winning the national title, I mean, they're lost. They don't know what to do. And this is what you do. You just accumulate as much talent as you can. So, yeah. That's what they're doing down there. But I don't know about you're being sarcastic, you know, every position and all that. I don't know about quarterback. I don't know about that offensive line still. As much as they were bringing in all this great talent, it's still a lot of the stuff that was wide receivers and skill position and all that. Well, let's see. You know, even more than let's see, the part about Michigan now being in their head and this thing turning around, the tables have turned totally against Ohio State. Michigan lost some of these games. When they were losing to Ohio State prior to these past 3 years, they lost a few of those games because Ohio State was in their heads. They were in the fans' heads, they were in the coaches' heads, and they were in the players' heads. Michigan is now in Ohio State's head. And Ohio State could be undefeated in that last game, the 30th of November, 2024. And Michigan's coming down there, regardless of what kind of record they have, and they're in Ohio State's head. So That's advantage Michigan right now. It doesn't matter what kind of team that Ohio State has. Michigan is in their heads. I answered that question. Loveland. I know he's not a wide receiver, so that's it. But I hear you. They do need a bigger – I'm not telling you that they're all set at wideout. They pay for these players. That's right. That's the name of the game now. You pay – if you want players in college football right now, you pay. That's what you do. That's the name of the game. Oh, do you think Michigan got all of their guys last year out of the transfer portal without paying them? You got to pay. That's what you do now. That's why you have general managers. That's why you have NIL. And you know, that's how you get players now. You got to pay. It's definitely a, and I'm not saying, Corey, that you don't understand this, but it's a transition for Michigan fans. I think it's a transition for Michigan overall as a school and as a football program, because for the last 20 or 30 years, you want to call it a reason or an excuse. I tend to think it was both. Every time Michigan lost a player in recruiting or a transfer or anything else, what did everybody say? They're just taking the bag. All the other teams were cheating, and Michigan was losing out, and you'd put a dollar sign with an O, and you put the dollar sign in the U. They're going for the money. The news now, everybody is going for the money. That's the name of the game now. So everyone is paying for the players. If you want players, you have to pay. I think that's a tough part for Michigan when it comes to the NIL. I'm not involved with the biggest donors or inside any of those meetings or anything else, but now Michigan's like, okay, here's the collection pay. Let's play pay for the players. And people are like, hey, for 20 years, you're saying that everybody's big fat cheaters. And, you know, it has to feel a little bit uncomfortable for the Michigan fan with a bunch of money that has been told over the last 20 years that everybody's a big fat cheater and everybody's paying for the players. But now you're like, yeah, that's what we're doing now too. Okay. That's legal now. It's a tough, I think younger people, they're able to transition to that a little bit easier. Like, come on. I think, you know, some of us older people are like, it's still tough to do when it comes down to that. I don't know if you feel that way or not. Trepa, Michigan just won a natty. There's no excuse why players shouldn't be lined up to play for Michigan, right? Well, just go back and watch at the beginning of the show, Trepa. There was Harbaugh wasn't out to the Chargers until January 24th. And then you saw how long it took to get over another month for Sherrone Moore to get the majority of his staff into place. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you just want a natty, people aren't just lining up like, okay, who are the coaches? Or they're not going like, everybody's telling you like, the Harbaugh's gone. You know, I know they were doing that before, but, you know, would you have committed to Michigan in January, Trepa? Hey, they just won a national championship. Is everybody going to be here next year? Who knows? So that was part of it. That's what was going on there. Corey talking about O'Leary needing to step up. The original talking about OSU will stack the box. And can a U of M quarterback make the throw and punish teams that stack the box? Yeah, not just OSU. That is what Texas is going to be doing. That I don't care what Michigan's going to beat USC by 30 points. They're going to just punch them in the mouth and bulldoze them. But I think Washington, am I putting MSU, Oregon, Ohio State? That's what everybody's going to try to do. But, yeah, that's what OSU will be doing. Any Jair Hill? You know, nobody specifically mentioned Jair Hill except I'm trying to remember what player was talking. And they called him Shug. Shug's doing good. And then I put it together, you know, Shug Hill. sometimes you need a little bit of a decoder there, but I think that's what they were talking about. But somebody told me McBurrows over the weekend was out. That doesn't mean that Shug or Hill is not playing well or that he won't be the starter. Somebody just said when they were watching, McBurrows looked pretty good. Rico is saying that he has come to accept that we won't pull in top 10 classes anymore. If after all the success, it's still like this, that's probably how it's going to be going forward. I understand how you feel like that, but, you know, Michigan's been close to top 10 classes. So just outside of the top 10. And then if you blend in the transfer portal and there's two ways. It used to be just, you know, the recruits. Now it's a transfer portal. So if you're doing really well in the transfer portal, you know, you can be outside the top 10 in recruiting. I think you're going to be okay. I think the more the game changes where the teams and the universities are going to have to start taking care of and sharing the revenue, I think that's going to be advantage Michigan. I also think with the new coaching staff, they understand. They have used NIL, if we say it to this point, masterfully. Big reason that Michigan won the national championship last year was name, image, and likeness. A big reason that they've been able to keep the majority of their players, sans Sab, is because of NIL. It's been great for them. That final part about showing them the money to get recruits, I think they're working on that front. They understand that. So, you know, that's the one last piece for them. I think they show them the money in the transfer portal. It's now having to do it with recruits. And let's see if they're able to pop a couple of the top players or not. And sometimes that's what it's going to take with everything that they've got going and all the things that they're doing and the money that they have. And if they're not able to, and if that's the reason, because they are still having a hard time getting over that threshold of saying, you know, here's the money. We can't really, you know, however they do it that we talk about. Wolf and Golden, Golden's, these are 2 7-footers that Corey's talking about, but Wolf, a big red from Yale, he's 7 foot, but he plays like a guy, 6'4", one that's like hanging out at the 3-point line, where Golden, it looks like, you know, he's more like, who's the big guy from UConn? Klingman. He's more of a Klingman type player, where Wolf is somebody that's going to be on the outside. The Originals talking about Michigan basketball teams were great in the past because they had a defensive presence in the middle. I hope they get back to that. Well, it'll be interesting. I don't know what Dusty, I in general, talking about that side of the ball and having a team that can dig in and get stops. It's almost fundamental. I don't know about every sport, but it seems like every sport, you know what, if how do you get things going when you're in a slump in basketball? Well, you work on the defensive end and it translates to the offensive end. And, you know, in hockey, what do? You start forechecking. Are you back? You know, and then you get a big hit and it helps in the offense. That's how it goes. I'm with you on that. Corey G thinks Wolf's game reminds him of Kelly Olynyk, only quicker. I'll tell you what, I'm a big Olynyk fan. So, and I see what you're talking about there, the way that they play. Olynyk's a hell of a player. I think he's underrated. He's hurt right now, isn't he? But he's a pretty good player. Corey's thinking that Orgy's getting a little bit overlooked with his passing, and he likes that. Ferris just made an eclipse viewing thing with a cereal box. What did I miss? I don't know. I've got the window cracked a little bit here, but I don't know. Is it supposed to happen at 3? Orgy, get the ball to the tight ends. Let's see, Kent. What's the update on Beilein being hired as an assistant to the head coach GM type role? Well, the update is that Beilein said that he is willing to help in any way, and May has said that he is able to help in any way that he wants. So finding whatever role it is, player development, assisting in, you know, he just over the weekend, Michigan had a Zoom call and Beilein was on it. So I don't know exactly what the title is going to be, but he's involved. He was involved with the hiring. He has said that any way that he can help, he's here. And Dusty has said that he wants John Beilein to help. So it's all lined up. And then Beilein spoke yesterday on the Zoom. So, you know, Beilein's there. Beilein's involved. And that's good for sure. AJ is not really worried about wide receiver because Michigan usually splits Loveland out anyway. There's your big play wide receiver. Boom, I'm right with you. Corey says Marlon Klein sounds like he's ready to step up. I would agree with that. There's Ferris must be a former coach talking about the wide receiver's got a block. Kevin saying, oh, it's O'Leary's time. Hey, look, I watched the spring game last year. I had O'Leary as one of my, you know, top. Was he the MVP? Or was that Ben Hall? I forget which guy I gave it to. I think I gave it to O'Leary. Got the game-winning touchdown. He was impressive, but we haven't seen anything since then. Some fans are so emotional. Just relax and pay attention. Yeah, I put myself in the emotional part and pay attention. And as soon as I want to tell somebody, like, okay, you know, relax a little bit. We're all different. You know, you want to complain about recruiting or complain about Sharon Moore? That's a little funny. Let's see. Are we getting ready to watch the eclipse or what? Rashad says he doesn't believe Michigan can get top 10 classes. I do. I don't. You know what? Maybe not this year, but they can do it. Kevin says we win with developing players. That's how you keep your culture of the program going. Well, I'd say yes and no to that. There was a lot of talk last year, like, why is Michigan bringing in Ladarius Henderson? Why are they bringing in Miles Hinton? Why are they bringing in Drake Nugent? Because Harbaugh was like, you know, I really like Greg Crippen. I really like the tackles that we got, these guys that we've developed and brought along. Why did they bring three tackles in? Well, because Harbaugh was like, you know, let's let them compete. You can never have enough tackles. And now that you have NIL in Michigan, yeah, sure enough, they weren't going after and throwing money to recruits, but they were paying guys that were staying around. And I don't know how that it's not talked about enough, but that's how Michigan's NIL was working for them up to this point. It's been fabulous. And so this part about, yeah, you keep your culture going. You get your culture going by winning and playing the right way. They brought 10 transfers in last year. So, yeah, you keep your culture. You love to develop all the players. But I do think that's the part about quarterback where I'm going to hit the panic button here. You know, they're developing their quarterbacks. They're getting everything else. Tuttle's been – I don't think he's practiced at all this spring. And, you know, they got to go out and just, you know, pluck somebody and just drop them in after spring, where you don't have all the practices and then you're going into fall camp. That's going to be a tough one. So that's where I'm in there on that. Yeah, again, I don't think Michigan needs a running back. And we've got somebody saying the sun looks like a crescent moon. All right, I'm off to watch the eclipse. I'm going to check it out. Thanks so much for joining us. Jim Scarcelli will be with us on Wednesday. We'll see you over on the Maize and Blue Review all day, all night, and until Wednesday at 2:00. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for watching.